During the Chazara on Tuesday, we discussed the topic of Uman Kona B'Shvach Kli as it relates to Tfilas Kelim. I just wanted to mention as a footnote, for those who were there, for those who weren't, the Chelkis Binyamin here quotes an interesting Kula to avoid the question totally. If you're giving a Kli that's broken to a non-Jew to repair, so to avoid the question of having to cover it again, just prepay. Because in the Shibolei Aleke, one of the Rishonim, that if you prepay, so then the whole notion of Uman Kona B'Shvach Kli is he has a right to hold on to the Shevach calls man that you don't pay him. But if you paid him in advance, so he's never Kona the Shevach, and for sure it's yours. Just an Eitzah, a practical Eitzah, to avoid the issue. If you're repairing a Kiddush cup or something with a non-Jewish artisan, that if you prepay, so then he doesn't seem to quote any Cholkim, that that should avoid the issue. Okay, I wanted to, just in terms of we're at the very end, I wanted to pick up where I left off with, but on the other hand, I wanted to cover some of the more major topics, so I'm going to change the order of the presentation. I'm going to go straight to the materials that are chayiv in tefila. The psukim indicate six types of metals that are chayiv in tefila, as we noted in the first year. Zav, kesef, nechoshes, barzel, bedil, and oferes. And as Rabbi Tendler wrote in the margin, what about zechuchis, what about aluminum? So the Torah doesn't say. So the first topic I wanted to address, going with the assumption that tefilas kelim in general is d'oraisa, which is, according to many poskim, is the position of Rov Rishon. Some poskim, they count up the numbers differently, but it's generally assumed that at least the tefilah of metal is d'oraisa. So what is the status, in whether it's Chayiv deraisa, chayiv derabanan, not chayiv at all, of new metals. So already in the times of the Tiferes Yisrael, new metals were discovered. I don't know if aluminum was one of them, but the different types of metal alloys that they discovered, other than the six listed in the Torah. And the question arose originally as to whether or not they're makabel tuma, theoretically. Leaving aside the question of Tfilas Kelim, which then came as a footnote after that. So this was discussed both by the Vilna Gaon and also the Tiferes Yisrael. The Tiferes Yisrael in the Yevakesh Das, which is his long summary or introduction to Seder Taurus, so he quotes in the name of the Vilna Gaon that the six metals are metals that are, the six metals listed in the Torah are makabel tuma. That's the language of the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon didn't quite say that other metals are not. He just said that the six metals mentioned in the Torah are makabel tuma. The simple understanding of the Gra is that he meant it exclusively. That even if, I don't know if the times of the Gra they had other metals, but even if they did, even if they would discover other metals, it's not tuma because the Torah only mentions these six explicitly. The Tiferes Yisrael himself, though, and this is in Os Mem Dalet, I'm quoting from a secondary source in the Sefer Tefilas Kelim. The Tiferes Yisrael himself thinks that that Gra should not be taken literally. And whatever the Gra held, he himself clearly holds that way, that it means v'hu adinami other metals. Because the term mateches means anything that, mateches means latich, to melt down, so anything that's made through melting down and then shaping it, that's called metal, for purpose of Kabbalah Stumma. So it's normally, even though it's very Yisrael, I think the way he phrases it, he wants to say that the Vilna Gaon agrees with him, but it's normally understood to be a machlokus, that the Gra holds that only the six metals mentioned in the Torah are makabel tuma, and the Vilna Gaon holds, and the Tiferes Yisrael holds that all metals are makabel tuma. Those that agree with the Tiferes Yisrael, that all metals are makabel tuma, and as we'll see in a second, they also apply it to Tefilas Kelim, are the Aruch HaShulchan, Simekuv Chav Sif Chav Gimel, and also an oral ruling, as I don't know if it's in the Shevet HaLevi, but it's reported in the name of Rav Osner. He held that Sefer Tefilas Kelim quotes that he held that all metals are chayiv min haTorah. The Ikras Moshe, which you have in the packets, take a quick peek on page. But okay. Aluminum going to the fire too. Thick aluminum.
But
can you actually fire it up? Presumably you can. Let's see, where's this tshuva?
Okay.
Well, according to that, should the plastic be metal? Because you melt it down.
Okay, well, that's the same. Coming up. First, okay, we'll start with the least kiddush. Where is it?
24.
Clay aluminum, tzrichim tvila. Hine clay aluminum shimateches chadasha shel nitzkar b'kro nearer the minatora einan tzrichim tvila. So right away the Ramosha seems to line up with the position of the Gro here. The mimasha nokar akro sheish minim b'shmoseim lo nokar klal kol kli matris. Mechrochen lomar the davka hani mekavon tuma. Tzvichen tzvila, but lo kelim minim acherim. The Torah shenid me piyak kodesh baruch hu, arei ubaras kol minim matris shaboylam. Hashem knew his world, he knew that there's aluminum in the ground too. And yet in the Torah, he chose to write only these six. So he didn't have to short-circuit the scientific discovery. He could have just written, you have to kasher and tovel, etc. with makabel tuma, minim matris. Instead, it's written out long form, so it sounds like only these six. Then Ramosha continues, and he says that it's also shisha ksuvim aboim ke'echod. Right? You have shnei ksuvim aboim ke'echod eim alamdim. Some say shlosh ksuvim aboim ke'echod. These are shisha ksuvim aboim ke'echod eim alamdim. So stopka these six, and no other. I think it's in this tshuva. I don't want to take up time looking. There's another article that Tzvil Skelem Sefer quotes in the publication, the Torah of Lahora, that Ramosha also often contributed to. Of his student, Rabbi Melech Bluth. So he wrote very similar to his Rebbe, so he writes that definitely, but I think Ramosha does too. I don't take up time looking for that. So Ramosha is Ramosha's position. Now, there are two ways of understanding that. You could say that it's a direct application of the Svara the Gra, or it's an independent application of the same idea. What do I mean by that? We'll see later, Rez Hashem, that there's a machlokas aposkim in general whether the laws of Tvilas Kalim parallel the laws of Tumah. So yei shomer mecho. That's a massive dispute that's somewhat unresolved. But in a lot of the areas where they overlap, you don't have to resort to assuming that it's dependent on tumah. You could independently arrive at the same conclusion, even not assuming that. Because when we have this parsha of the geulei klei midyan, there are three topics mentioned concerning these metals: kashering, tvilas kelim, v'toher. And also, l'fi pshuta shel mikra, b'mei nida yischata, sprinkling of the paraduma, the meichatas. So all three topics are mentioned there. So the Gra is talking about Tumah, and he says that these six metals are dafka, simply the simple reading of the Gra. And Ramosha is saying, well, again, these six metals are dafka regarding tefilas kelim. You need not necessarily assume that tefilas kelim is patterned after Tumah in order to arrive at the lenient position of Ramosha that maximum aluminum is only chayiv midrabbanan. You could say it's not dependent on it, and you independently arrive at that because that parsha is also talking about tefilas kelim and it mentions those six metals. So Ramosha is mitzadeh, is not with certainty, but is mitzadeh that is definitely not chayiv d'oraisa and mistamet chayiv midrabbanan. Come back to that point in a second about the Mestama being Chayiv Midrabbanan. Why isn't it Vare Chayiv Midrabbanan? No, why should it be Chayiv Midrabbanan? But in terms of Svara, so the Svara is to say that that they're Pater, it's because the Torah didn't spell it out. And even though normally we make a Binyan Av, but as Ramosha says, if Hashem wanted you to make a Binyan Av, so he would have said Matchis, because he knew the metals. And furthermore, it's Shishak Suv Mabon Ke'echot. So these seem to be very, very, very powerful arguments. How could you hold like those poskim who, similar to the Tiferes Yisrael regarding Tumah, the Aruch HaShulchan and Rav Ozner and other poskim, how could you say that aluminum is chayiv min haTorah, which these poskim are saying? So Rabbi Neuberger last year quoted a very inventive svara in the name of Rav Sternbuch and his Tshuvas van Hoggis, that maybe the rule of Shisha Ksuv Mabon Kecha does not apply to halachic psakim that are in the name of someone other than the Ribbono Shel Olam, even though ultimately it comes from him. In other words, Vaydav Hashem Moshe Leimor. So then there the Torah has a phraseology of two, three, four, six phrases. So then you'll say that Shishak Suma Bom Kechad. But here Elazar HaKoyin was giving halach lemaisa, psak. He got up and he was telling the Anshei HaMachane that Zoysa Torah that the Moshe told us, because Moshe got angry, so he only told them about the laws of Tumah, so he reminded them about the laws of Kashering, and according to those who hold that tefillah is minatorah. He told them the laws of tefillah of kelim as well. And he told them that, listen here, these medals that you just got from the enemy camp, you have to kasher, and you have to be tovah. So maybe you can't be medayik and Allah's speech so much to say shisha ksuvim ma'boim ke'achad ein melamdin, because he's just listening halacha lemaisa what they had. That's a very controversial topic. How do you, obviously, when Moshe Rabbeinu was told to write down the Torah from the Ribbono Shel Olam, he was told how to write Allah's speech too. So how much precision did that have? So that opens up a whole topic in general in terms of Tanakh. We know every word was divinely dictated, but here is a divine dictation of what Allah has said. Or maybe his speech was modified to conform to the standards of drushes of Torah. And when Allah mouthed these words, he wasn't putting in extra hays and extra vavs. But when Hashem Yisbarach told Moshe to write it down, so do you say that now this is nidrash like the rest of the Torah? Or that's just this recording of Allah's speech, so you can't necessarily make all these drushes. On the other hand, you do make plenty of drushes, though you make a drusha from Ach, the Ma'ite Sechaluda, and V'toher. So this is, I didn't get a chance to look at it inside. It would probably be very instructive to see how we would apply this in general. But that was his suggestion, that maybe the inyan of Ksuvim Aboim Ke'echod V'Eim Alamdin could only apply to something in the nature of Vidav Hashem Moshe Leymar, not a psak that was said by an individual, even though it was later recorded in the Torah. There are not so many like that. This is one of the few examples that I love
it.
Right, right. But the others would argue, but just like we make drushes in other aspects of Allah's speech, we darsh in the Ach and we darsh in the Meinida, and so you could say those are more apparent. And as, here he mentioned the medals because they were, okay, so that's this debate. Isn't it the norm we assume it's a Doros unless we know otherwise, no, isn't it? Yeah, that's also true. Okay, so that's in Svara, I know of no other Svara that has to go against Rav Moshe's point that it should be Shishik Sum Vam Kechad other than that Chuvas Van Hagis. So now, so according to that approach of the Chuvas Van Hagis, Nerach HaShulchan and Rav Vosner, that medals Chayev Deraisa, so that's straightforward. What if it's not Chayev Deraisa? So Pashtus, it should be pater. Pater totally. Because if you say it's the Rabbanan, so you have to have some kind of takana the Rabbanan. And the Gemara never said that other medals are chayav the Rabbanan. So that's our emotion, that same tshuva, so he's not so sure about that. What was it, page 24?
Yeah,
so then he writes, this is a tractate line, it's an important line. Umemela, this is about 10 or so lines down, the middle of the line, on page 25. Umemela, gam tvila midin kelim chadashim, ulai ein lahatzrich, da ba parsha hu nemar gam dine tvilas kelim. Avon nire, the tvila midrabban ansarich, kimo kleis chuchis. Shamar vashi ho vachinish tabri, eshem takana kathli matzis damu. Since you can melt down glass and remake it, just like metal, so it's chayiv midrabbanan. By other metals, the svara is even more relevant. Glass is similar to metal because you can melt it down. So other metals are also similar to metal because you can melt it down. But after, okay, the rest will leave. I'll have to get involved in the issues of the other Gemara about schuchis. So Rav Neuberger mentioned that yesh makom lefakbeit. You could say that it's kereach mikan or mikan. On the one hand, it's not chayiv in the din deraisa of tefillas kelim because it's not a metal listed in the Torah. On the other hand, it's not included in schuchis because the chachamim never envisioned, perhaps, that new metal, so they never misakin. If they were around, they probably would be misakin, but they weren't, so maybe ain't lana lechadish. So the bottom line is that there's no posek who says that lemaisa, that aluminum should be totally pater. Rav Moshe, who holds that it's not chayiv min haTorah, does state that it's at least chayiv midrabbanan, but he does indicate that svara is not so glatt, it's nearer, that it should be included as a kal v'chomer from the gzera of zechuchis. So if I'm not mistaken, I don't remember, it's been some time with a different malchus, I think Rav Tendler Shlita, because of the fact that the Shver was not so sure about this, so he was hesitant to make a bracha on aluminum. And he would recommend to be tovel adif, usually be a nafkamina for aluminum pots. Tovel the throwaways are willig addressed. There are other coolers for throwaways, but if you have an aluminum pot, so he recommended that it would be better to be tovel a metal that has a regular metal. Stainless steel is not quite what would it be similar to? But Barzel. It's not quite Barzel, but it's an alloy of Barzel. It's a processed Barzel. So that the person can assume is the metal of, is enough similar enough to the metal itself. So if you take a regular standard stainless steel utensil, whatever, and be totally together with the aluminum, I think that was Rabbi Tendler's recommendation. I think other poskim don't have that hesitancy. I think they assume that aluminum is at least chayiv midrabanan, even though, as Rabbi Neuberger indicated, yesh makom lefakbi. Yes?
First, is Rabbi Tendler saying that in the name of Rav Moshe?
No, I think that was just his reading of the tshuva.
Rabbi Tendler agree that Rav Moshe himself, because since Rav Moshe...
I can't say more than that. I don't know if he had an oral tradition that he wasn't so certain and that his father-in-law told him, or whether he was just reading the tshuva.
Isn't it like fair to do that Rav Moshe, if Rav Moshe
would pass him, that he would be
mechayev? That you should say a bracha.
You should not.
In other words, if Rav Moshe had believed...
Well, he says Aval Nira. He does write Aval Nira.
Meaning that Rav Moshe would have said that
okay.
He would make a bracha.
Yeah, that's reasonable. And indeed, that seems to be the way that Rav Felder in his Sefer Ola Yishurim in the case.
And the other question is
that he would be chayav.
What's even, I guess, Deller just like emphasized the point that, like, in terms of not specific here, didn't Rav Moshe also make say with regards to plastics that since the Rabbanan never made a tefana on anything other than glass,
right.
So they should. So
right.
Some things Rav Moshe himself said.
You caught him in. Yeah, it seems to be a catch 22. We'll come back to that in a second when we get to plastic. A few minutes. Okay. So Rav Neuberger mentioned this is one of the snifim that can be utilized to pater, let's say, the throwaway aluminum pins. The main snifim, Rabbi Willig mentioned last week, that maybe they're not makabel tuma, that maybe they're not considered a kli, maybe it's not a kli choshev, and even if you use it for more than a few times, so you're the one who made it into a kli, those are the main snifim lahakel. One of the other snifim that some folks can throw in, that they're aluminum. And aluminum, according to many poskim, is only the Rabbanan, and even Yesh Malkum Lomar that it's totally pater. These are additional snifim lahakel, at least for a throwaway. So it's not throwaway, so all the poskim say have to be tovelit. Pashtus with a bracha, even if it's only chayiv the Rabbanan, but as the maneuver going to get Yesh Malkum Lafak. Okay, let's move on to the next major material. Go ahead.
So
that's the psak of many poskim. Not everyone agreed to that, but that's the psak of many poskim. Who are the many poskim? Rav Moshe held that way. Rabbi Willer. Who holds not? Rabbi Neuberger wasn't so happy about that kula if you can use it more than once. He had a svara to be mafkir then, because that's a real hefker because they're not so expensive. Who else is mafakbek? The Sefer Tefilas Kalim quotes others who only would allow it once. Well, if we have time, we're a little pressured for time. If we have time, we'll readdress that time.
That's a real haftar when you make a haftar
as opposed to like they quote a story from Baron Lichtenstein, in order to get out of the problem with Tefillas Kalim on a microwave or something, or a toaster oven, I'm not sure why, what the shiloh was, how come he didn't just tovel the rack, whatever it was. So he was mafkir his microwave. So then on Purim, one of the Gush guys went into, when he was visiting Ravaran's apartment, Ravaran Lichtenstein, so he took the microwave away because he knew it was hefker. So then after Purim, he wanted to return it. So Ravaran said, "B'shem Eifin, I'm not taking it back. You were kind of in a hefker. The only reason you're giving it back is you think the hefker was a joke. It's not a joke. It was mafkirit." But normally people who would be mafkir their microwaves, it would be yesh makom lefakbek that he's not really sincere. So he suggested that with aluminum pins, he could be sincere. That was his eitzah. Okay, that's a further shiloh, whether if you mafkir something and then you use it, whether you're really potter from Tefillas Kalim or not. But some poskim hold you are, so he wanted to add that as an additional sniflokin. I have to move on, I'm sorry, there's a lot of topics to cover. Glass. So the Gemara quotes the statement of Rav Ashi, which Rav Moshe alluded to, that since glass, let me just quote the exact line, because the line is going to be crucial for further analysis of this topic. Rav Amar Rav Ashi, you have it on page 4, want to take a quick peek. Over the bottom of the skinny line, the Mervashi Hani Kleis Chuches Hol V'Chinishtabru Yeshlam Takana K'chlimatzis Damu. Since if they break, so you could fix them through melting it, so they're like matzis. They're like metal. So how do you read that Gemara? So the overwhelming majority of the poskim read that as a rabbinic takana. Hol V'Chinishtabru Yeshlam Takana K'chlimatzis Matzis Damu. Therefore, it stands to reason that we should be misakin that it's chayiv in Tevilas Kelim. And this is the position of, just to round up a few members of this group, it's the Mashmos, this is all from the Sefer Tevilas Kelim, the Mashmos, the Toises HaRosh, the Meiri, the Pricharash in Simuk of Chaf explicitly, the Chachmas Shadam, and many other postmen. As we saw, Rav Moshe also just assumes without even mentioning that there's anything to say otherwise that blesses the Rabbanan. However, there is a minority opinion in the Achronim, not in the Rishonim. Some Rishonim are silent, some are mashma that it's the Rabbanim. But in the Achronim, there is a Darki Tshuva, Sivkat and Chafalef, in our Simon. He quotes in the name of the Divrei Yosef that he understands that it's their Isa. Ravashi is saying that since it could be melted, so that has halacha of matzis. Obviously, that's a fior ha'ara. So that's obviously going with the Tiferes Yisrael's approach, that matzis, the six metals of Lav Dafka, and extending it over to anything that melts down. But that's a minority opinion. It's a das yachid. Generally assumed that glass is there abundant. Divrei Yosef. Yeah. Darki Tshuva. Darki Tshuva. Okay. So, whether it's the rice there abundant, you make a broch on it. Because we make brochas on their abundance. That's, there were some achroinim. And you could justify it with a twist as to why they held that way. But there was some Achrayim who said you don't make a brach on glass, but all the poets can say that's not true. It's against the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch says you have to be told metal and glass, and he says make a brach, and he doesn't distinguish the metal and glass. The post can even have a further chakiro. Do you say al tvilas kalim? Maybe you should say al tvilas kli matzis. And when you're told a glass, maybe you should say al tvilas kli schuchis. Well, we don't do that, but the post can are all assuming that you certainly make a brach on glass. We say al tvilas kalim or al tvilas keli if it's only one. So we do make a brach on glass against those minority who say that you do not. Yeah. The Shulchan Aruch says yes, and the Aruch HaShulchan says our minig is toi say kedu. That's what I said, and I think people follow whatever it says in the mikveh. Okay. So now the next material is the combination materials. Actually, 1 second, which order should we take here? Yeah, okay. We'll switch it. Plastic. Okay, so plastic is a nice litmus test of a material that is not in the Gemara, is not metal, and is meltable and remakeable. So, most of the poskim, who are the most? See my list, I jotted down quickly who the poskim are. So, when we deal with plastic, I'm not a materials expert, but I don't know, I think plastic was invented pretty much at the beginning of the 20th century. They started out with something called Bakelite, and then they made new plastics, but it was a similar type of material. But already in the 19th century, the Ben Ish Chai, and there's a Tshuva Sefer called Ol Avram, it's mentioned in the Darki Tshuva and Sifkot Nyudalit, I don't think they were addressing plastic, but they were addressing some other material that was not glass and not metal, but it was meltable and you were able to remake it. So I don't know what those materials were exactly, but it's the same issue. Conceptually, it's the same issue. So the 1 second, let's see here. Okay, the Malamed Lahoyel, I think, was the Rosh HaMedabrim on the side of the Potrim here. And again, I don't think he was talking about plastic. I don't know if he had it. He was talking about some other material that was like plastic in the sense that it was meltable. Yeridei Simim Emtes, as well as modern poskim who are directly addressing plastic. Yabia Omer Dalet Ches, Chelik Yeridei, Chelik Dalet Simim Ches. Rav Moshe Feinstein has recorded in the Sefer Ohalei Yeshurin. I don't know if it's written in any of the Tshuvas. I think it's only orally recorded. The Sefer Ohalei Yeshurin is a handy Sefer, as we mentioned before, on Hagola, Tvila, and Yichud, and Sheva Brachas. The Rav Henkin in Hadarom, Volume Chaf, Tzitz Eliezer, Zayin Lamed Zayin, Chelkis Yaakov, Chelik Beis, Kuf Samach Gimel, Ve'od. The plastic is putter. However, there's a significant other opinion that plastic is chayiv. Now, when I say plastic is chayiv, and all those other mysterious materials that existed in the 19th century, they were like plastic. The Darki Tshuva and Sifkat Nyudalit quotes that from one of the Achronim, the Ol Avram. The Ben Ish Chai writes that way. The Minchas Yitzchak, Dain Weiss, the Rav Rashi, shall we say, of the Eidah Haredes, Chela Gimel, Simonim Ayin Vav through Ayin Ches, that's Rav Sternbuch's recommendation, Taras HaMishpacha. All of those people write, though, to be told, all those posts can write to be told, Blibra. The ones that say Pater, obviously Pater is Pater. The ones that say Chayiv say, but no Bruch. So what are the Svaras Lakan and Lakan? So it goes back similar to our discussion about aluminum. On the one hand, it's certainly not chayiv, well, leaving aside the Divrei Yosef that we quoted earlier, it's certainly not chayiv min haTorah. But maybe it's included in the rabbinic takana of glass, depending on how you understand it. Either the nature of the motivation of the rabbinic takana was anything that's meltable is going to be chayiv. But bottom line, they were only mesakein on glass. Or should you say that there was an open-ended takana derabbanan? Anything that's meltable is chayiv. For those that are mechayev, at least believe bracha, achoshesh, for the fact that it's a global takana, anything that's meltable. And those that say it's dafka glass, those that say plastic uchadom is pater, are assuming that the takana was only on glass, even though the motivation for the takana was anything meltable. So getting back to what you had mentioned, so Rav Moshe, at first glance, seems to be mezakeh shtar levetrei, by patering plastic on the one hand, because he's understanding that the takana of glass to only be on glass, but being mechayev aluminum because it's meltable. So that's why Rav Moshe is careful to write that since this is dom utfei, it's very, very close to metal, so it stands to reason that that should be more chayev than other materials that are meltable. But that's what Rav Neuberger said, but maybe it slipped through the cracks. So that's Rav Moshe is trying to show that it didn't slip through the cracks. So that's where that's why aluminum is somewhat debatable whether it's chayiv altogether, at least according to those who are hupata plastic. La halacha, I think the broader minhag olam is not to be tovel plastic, but there are certain communities, I think I'm not a member, but I think in the broader community they have that practice, to be tovel plastic without a bracha. I think they quote, I heard it's very willing, in the name of Rav Breuer, that he had a different motivation for that, not necessarily the Minchas Yitzchak and the other poskim who are saying that maybe it has a lach of glass for these purposes, but shelo tishtachach toras tvila. So you know, he was under the impression that plastic is a new age material and that's going to take over the world and everyone's going to have only plastics. And if you're not going to be tovli bracha, so they're going to forget that the mitzvah tvila's kid. So I heard the name Rav Willig and the name Rav Breuer, but I don't know how many telephone guests were. Okay, so that's plastic.
Not disposable plastic.
Disposable plastic, so then you have the, that would be, can you have a chumrah to be tovel even a plastic cup? Yes, because not everyone accepts that parallel that the throwaway kli is necessarily not a kli, right? But I don't think anyone's mechayev that, even amongst the machmirim. Because they have so many snifim lahokim, the throwaway plastics to not be tovel. Okay. Coated kalim. So here we have coding in two directions. The one that's discussed in the Gemara is what the Gemara calls a kunya, which is a machlokis, but we paskin that it is chayiv. Kunya is an earthenware base, and it's coated by a layer of something that's chayiv. What is that layer? So some Rishonim say it's metal, some Rishonim say it's glass. Amongst those Rishonim who say it's metal, so some poskim say, aha, the ones that said metal, maybe they only said metal. Because metal is chayiv min haTorah. So that din d'oraisa we're going to extend even if it's only a coating. But the din d'rabbanan of glass maybe we won't extend. So although that is the approach of some poskim, but the halacha l'maisa, we are machmir even to the extent of making a bracha, although we'll see later it has to be coated well, that we would make a bracha on a coated kalim if the base is cheres and the material that it's coated with is either metal or glass. One second, I think I might have jumped the gun here because I might be wrong about that. Let me just recheck the Shulchan Aruch. This is in Sif Aleph in the Shulchan Aruch. One second. All right, it depends how you read that Prima Gaudi. Okay, I'll leave that as an open question. If you have a material that's cheres and it's coated by real glass, you'll see what I mean in a second, why I keep saying real layer of glass. I'm not sure whether it's chayiv or not with a bracha. I'll leave it as an open question.
Well, wouldn't that stand if you hold it to the rice of glass, then you would say it would need it.
Right.
If you hold some rabbanim, then it wouldn't need it.
But not necessarily, because some Rishonim understand that Gemara, that kunya is chayiv, they interpret it to mean cheres coated by glass. So then the Gemara, if that's what it means, and then the Gemara is saying it beferish, regardless of the rabbanim of the rice. You could have suggested a stele in that, but you don't necessarily have to line it up.
Well, they made it to kind of a little clover, you said? Like
yeah.
Once
it became chayiv, it's chayiv with all of its ramifications. The language of the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, they speak about avor. They speak about coated with lead. So they don't quite speak about glass. That's mentioned by the Rebbe Kiv Eger in the name of the Prima Gadim. So the Prima Gadim says to be tovelit without a bracha if it's glazirt. But why is he insisting to be tovelit without a bracha? Because he's being choshesh that maybe coated with glass is not chayev, or because he's talking about a very thin layer of glass. So two different ways of reading the Prima Gadim. So I leave it as an open question. In any case, if it's coated with metal, it's chayev. If it's coated with glass, let's say, b'li bracha. And one final word about this, it has to be coated in a way where it's coated in a functional way, meaning not just for looks, but to enhance the functionality of it. So this becomes an issue because the Gemara says that coated kelim achayiv. And the Mordechai, as quoted by the, and other poskim as well, the Smach, as quoted by the Ramah, is worried that maybe if it's only coated on the inside, so maybe that's not for functional reasons, maybe that's only for decoration reasons. Chayim Mitzvah should have been lehefech. If you put it inside, it's functional, the outside is, but that's what they're worried about. And unless it's coated on both sides, so he's choshesh that maybe it's only lenoi, and therefore it should only be tovel bracha. So therefore, halacha l'maisa, at least those who follow the Ramah, you only tovel a coated kli that's coated on the inside, again, cheres coated by, let's say, metal, or at least, without a bracha, because of a choshesh for that position of the Mordechai and the Smach, that we're worried that is only lenoi. If it's coated on both sides, though, you make a bracha, and if it's only coated on the outside, so pashtus it should be pater, because that's for sure only lenoi. But the Shach quotes from the Yisuv Hetzer that even that is chayiv to be tovel b'li bracha. Okay, yes.
That comes an interesting trial, because if you talk about Hagolus Kalim,
yeah.
Tavilus Kalim is the merest extra,
yeah.
And you have a question whether or not enamel requires Hagolus.
Right, but that it's not necessarily going to be exactly in tandem, because the Gemara points out that even Kalim Chadoshim are chayiv in Tavilus Kalim.
Right.
So it's the same types of Kalim, and it might be considered al-pi halacha structurally a Gemara Hefsher, but not necessarily totally exactly. You might be able to have a gap of something.
That's the point connected to the idea that Hagolus Kalim is a
well, maybe. Maybe once we're dealing with the Rabbanan, so then it was globalized, like glass. According to many Rishonim, glass, you don't have to kasher at all, but yet glass is certainly chayiv in Tavilus Kalim. So I don't know if that's necessarily going to destroy the whole binyan. Okay, just a few other points. I'll take one or two questions because I'm a little bit of a runaway train today. I'm sorry. The question that the poskim discuss, that's ma'or halacha l'maisa, is how thick does this cover have to be in order to be mechayivit, even belibra? So that's the issue of contemporary China. As we mentioned in our Hagolas Kalim Shiur, right, porcelain and China is all the same thing. The Pesachei Tshuva and Sif Katan Beis writes that porcelain, even though it has glass-like properties, it looks a little like glass, but it's not glass, it's cheres. And therefore, it's not chayiv in tefillah. So, it's not clear from that language of the Shelos Yaivitz whether he's talking about coated porcelain or uncoated porcelain. He just writes, porcelain is not chayiv. So there was a minig that the Aruch HaShulchan testifies about that people were tovel porcelain. So he says, but don't make a bracha, because pashtus is pater, and even if you're going to be machmir to do it, don't make a bracha. But what about coated porcelain? You know, what we have, usually we have an earthenware base, clay earthenware base, and then it's coated with some kind of shine, a glazing. So, getting back to that Prima Gadim that's quoted by the Chiddush of Rekiv Eger, he says, glazirt yitovel b'li bracha. What is glazirt? So, some poskim learn that glazirt means a glass shmir. And the reason that the Prima Gadim said b'li bracha is because it's not really such a thick layer. But it's still chayav b'li bracha, even if it's a very thin layer. But Ramosha Feinstein, I forget which tshuva it's in, it's in one of the tshuvas, he has just one or two lines on that. He says, no, the Prima Gadim was only machmir because that was a thick layer. And the reason he said b'li bracha was, I guess, because he wasn't sure whether to extend the halacha of coated kalim to glass, because since glass only there abundant star out of it. But our china, it's just a shmir, the way Rabbi Tendler put it. Glass is not glazed. There's no word glass, but then it's a thick layer of glass, so then you'll be chayiv tvila, maybe b'li bracha. But glazed is just a tzeva ba'alma, so that's potter.
So
So, a thin coating of metal, if it's very, very thin, it's just seva ba'alma, it could be that they would potter too. It happens to be that even a thick coating of metal might only be there once. That I didn't get into. That's part of the dynamic of maybe they didn't extend it over to glass. But if it's just a shmir, it's just seva ba'alma, so that Ramosha suggests was never b'chlal v'takana. So la'alacha, there are split, there's a split psak on this, and split minhagim based on that split psak. Ramosha Feinstein Zatzal is recording the Sefer Ola Yeshurin, as well as Rabbi Willig Schechter and Rabbis Willig Schechter and Neuberger Tendler, all hold that China is not chayiv. Rabbi Tendler makes some jokes, so so during the Sheva Brachas period, you know, so what else do you have to do? All right, so it's a terribly bracha, but there's no, we all make her then, it's certainly potter. And other svarim, such as the Sefer Tvilas Kalim and the Sefer Chelkas Binyamin, so quoting that Prima Godim, that maybe that's exactly what the Prima Godim is saying, that even just the Shmir Ba'alma is a chayiv b'li bracha. So la'alacha a different minhagim on this. Obviously, if you are, sorry, a thick one, pashtus, you definitely have to be tovel, at least b'li bracha. Right, so Rabbi Willig always gives an example. I'm not familiar, but I don't know, but he said 100 years ago, he said if you saw a set of old china, you could see, you could look from the side, and you could see the extra layer of glass. So that's the kind of thing that the Prima Godim was talking about. But nowadays, just a shmir. Another sniff la'aki, although Rabbi Tendler mentioned, is that nowadays the shine sometimes is made by itself. If it's very good china, the shine is made by itself. They don't have to shmear anything on. And sometimes they make it with chemicals that have nothing to do with glass. So that might be another sniff la'akel, because since glass is only chayav derabbanan to start out with, so we might have a suffix of chukis. So that'll be another reason to be makel, but lamaisa there are those who are machmir to be tovably brach. Yes.
Can you just quickly explain if it's coated on one side with metal? You mentioned that it's
definitely chayiv. Oh, both sides it's chayiv in bracha.
Right, but if it's one side,
if it's the inside, so the mechaber implies also in bracha. And the Ramah quotes from the smak, and I think the Mordechai too. I think he also says that way that b'choshesh that that's only lenoi, only for aesthetics.
It's inside.
So inside, and on the outside it's a further machlok whether it's chayiv at all. Pashtus, you should say on the outside it's for sure lenoi. So it shouldn't be chayav at all.
If it's on the outside where it would maybe be separate, where it would be below the heat.
The fire, okay. So maybe that's the part. Okay. So that's a machlok is a poskim, whether the on the outside alone, whether it's chayav or not. Okay, I want to move on. The other way. This is a shayla that comes up nowadays. The other way. You have a base that's chayav in tvila and a coating that's not chayav in tvila. What's an example? Enamel is one of them, where you have a base of metal and a coating of cheres like material. Or a Teflon, where you have a metal base and a layer of plastic-like material that allows for the food to slide off. So here also, there's a dispute. Rav Moshe Feinstein, as quoted in the Sefer Ola Yeshurin, writes that these are both chayiv, because you go by the Iker Kli, and the Iker Kli is metal. And Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach wants to say that it should be exactly dependent on the other way. In other words, exactly in the reverse. If it's only Lenoi, or let's have a Ba'alma, so then it will be chayiv here, because the base is metal. But if it's for functionality purposes, so then it will be putter, totally. L'maisa Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach is hesitant to paskin l'chul on this, because he finds it hard to necessarily assess that. So therefore he recommends to be tovel enamel, and presumably Teflon as well, b'li bracha. So l'halacha, since you do have this machlokis, no clear cut psak, probably would be preferable to be tovel Teflon also, in addition to enamel, without a bracha, or as the Shulchan Aruch recommends in other contexts, to take along something that's certainly chayiv and make a bracha on both of them. That's quite a chiddush, right? Because Teflon, you would think, frying pan, metal. Paul's can say, no, not so fast. It's a thin layer of, and it's for functional reasons too. So maybe that we should be chayiv for b'li bracha. I didn't get a chance to ask the rabbanim to see how the ma'aser they felt on this. Sorry. That's the kli suda. So that's the ikar kli suda. The other stuff is a little extra credit. That's the svar l'chay. That seems to be a Moshe svar. Okay.
Beshem,
we'll get to it. We didn't touch upon functionality, just materials now. Oh, you mean would that be? I don't think it would be dependent on that. I think it would be based on different.
What's on top? It's only on the inside, not on both sides.
Right. Yeah, but okay. That's for the Mordechai. I don't know, it's a little hard to understand, so I don't think we'd apply it to Kula. Okay. All right. New glasses. So, start slowly. Pyrex and Duralex is, I guess everyone got a good laugh, but you know, it's important to know the mother. So apparently, standard glass is called, I don't know, sodium silicate, something like that. And Pyrex is borosilicate. Why is it called borosilicate? Because they add on boron. The glass is made out of sand, primarily, and they add on some boron. Why do they add on the material boron? Because it makes it shatterproof and heatproof. That's, they figured out a chop, how to make glass shatterproof, so that's why they have pots made out of Pyrex Duralex. So we discussed earlier about Yosef, about if you hold that the reason you can't kasha glass, your wire is going to break, so maybe you could kasha Pyrex. If you hold you can't kasha glass because it's not kashable, so then you can't kasha even that. So, somewhat when mafak bake, take a look at the back page of the packet. I think Rabbi Pendler included this page not so he could write what he thinks is wrong, but because that was the most convenient synopsis of the laws of Tfilos Kelim that he found. But nonetheless, he was mafakvik on a lot of these psukim here. So if you look in the column of materials, Tfilah without a bracha, so they have their Duralex and Pyrex. So Rabbi Tendler wrote, Pyrex is borosilicate glass. Duralex is glass. What did he mean? That means you should shift that over to the Tfilah with a bracha column. Because it's glass. The fact that you add on boron, so that should change it. It's not glass anymore just because you add on another mineral. And then Rabbi Tendler, with his ideas of chemistry, says if you take a careful chemical analysis of the sand that you have on the Israeli shores, it's all borosilicate. Okay, so that means the times of the glass in the times of Chazal was borosilicate. That was an extra twist that he gave you. So I don't know, notwithstanding the kosher gram from the Vod of Detroit, but the Tfilas Kalim Sefer says the same thing too, that Pyrex and Duralex is glass, it's chayiv in bracha without any pikpuk. What is a little mifukpak is Corningware and Karel. But I will address that briefly. I wanted to just add a little bit based on other rabbanim and a little bit my own research. Karel doesn't break easily. So, and it doesn't quite look like glass. It's a little shinier than china, but it doesn't look, so what is it? So, I don't know what it is. But Rabbi Neuberger and Tendler were both convinced that they visit the Corning factory in the upstate New York on the way to Niagara Falls. So that is glass. It's just a glass made a different way that doesn't break. So they thought that Me'ikar Adin, it really should be Chayev Tvila with a bracha. Rabbi Tendler, I think, in deference to the fact that his father-in-law, Rav Moshe, held it's not Chayev and Tvila at all, because Rav Moshe held that it was a Suffolk glass, as Rabbi Willig mentioned, and therefore he held it was Potter, because Suffolk, the Rabban and Lekula. But Rabbi Tendler wasn't convinced. He thought it was glass, but he was choshesh not to make a bracha because of the position of his father-in-law. Rabbi Neuberger, I think, felt the same way. My research has shown, just based on an email to one of the experts there, they told me that the way they make karel is they make it out of three layers. They have glass going this way, and glass going that way, and glass going that way, and that provides a muscle much like plywood, so it doesn't break. So, sounds like it's glass though. Who cares if it's one or two or three layers? So I thought perhaps the machlok is based on the following. How literal do you how do you define glass? So we saw earlier that some posts can define glass as anything that's meltable. Right? The meaning for purposes of these halachas. And some posts can define glass as glass. So, right? Not plastic or anything that's meltable. So what is the definition of glass? The fact that it breaks and remelts, there's things other than glass that do that. So the chorus should be telling on the materials. So I thought that this machlok should depend on that. If you go by something that's breakable and redoable, well, you can't break karel and redo it because you got to make three layers out of it. So you can't, that's what I asked them. I asked them that Shiloh, the experts. I said, can you break karel and remake it? They said, no, you can't because it's fused layers of glass. So in order to do that, you'd have to peel away each layer and it's impossible to do chemically. So lamaisa, it's not remeltable and remakeable, but it is made out of pretty much the same material as glass. So that might depend on the issue of plastic in the other direction. Anyway, la halacha, the poskim are split on this. Many poskim recommend it should be tovel karel, at least b'li bracha, as the Detroit Koshagram indicates. Rabbi Tender Aminuberg thought maybe even with a bracha. And Rav Moshe Feinstein is quoted, and Rav Willig said that as well in last week's Chabura, that it's totally potter because it's a suffix glass. All I add is that if you're going to... Pyrex is different, because Pyrex is really a straight glass with one extra mineral added in.
So why should that thing
get yeah, so that's why Rabbi Tendler, he with Revach, he said, ship that over to the other column.
Make sense.
Yeah. So ship it over. Good. Alright. Yeah, he had Bukum and all of them. Right. Well, the enamel, I think, Lamaisa, we still have to keep in that column. He wrote metal, I think, in deference to the Psak of the Shver. The Shver hole, that is basically metal, so you don't know. But yeah, so why did he give this out? I think he gave it out because this was the most convenient. Most of it is right. Most of the boxes are right.
But what about brass? You never talk about brass.
Brass is one of the main metals of the Torah, I think. Isn't that the Nechoshes?
Not
Nechoshes?
So
made of brass? I don't know. I got confused about this. Okay, I must continue. I'm sorry. There's a whole core material that has to be discussed that we didn't get to yet. So I have to continue. I'll be happy to take the questions here. Lamaisa, if you are being told the Karel, which is whatever, say l'charav, but that's what I would recommend based on the fact that there's yesh harbe mokum to say that it's glass. So make sure not to be, make sure not to second guess yourself, because that's what I did, and then you had to scrub down the dishes that are old. Originally, I wasn't tovel then, but then I found out that so many rabbanim hold you have to, so I was tovel it. But then you gotta get off of all the chatzitzes. So if you are being tovel it, make sure to tovel it when they're brand new. Otherwise, it'll be a little more difficult. Okay, let's continue. What's called a kli suda? What's called a kli suda? That's the most central question of this topic. So the Shulchan Aruch in Seifim, what is it, Dalet and Hay, has two very important criteria as to what makes a Kli Suda. We'll discuss them in the negative, and then obviously the Kli Suda is everything that happens. Anything that doesn't touch the food is not a Kli Suda, and therefore the Shulchan Aruch exempts stove grates, what he calls the tripod, tripodish, dreyfus, whatever. A contemporary setting would be a stove grate or an oven rack that you don't put food directly on, you only put pans on. But that doesn't touch the food, so it's putter. And things that do touch the food, that's what he calls the pedilius, which is some kind of roasting pan. So that's that is chayiv. So the first definite criterion in the positive way of kli suda is it has to touch the food. The second criterion, which is mentioned in Seifei, is that it has to be used for gemar ha'achana, meaning that either you put prepared food in the utensil, spoons, forks, plates, bowls, etc., or it's a preparation device that after that's done with, it's now ready to eat.
One or the other?
Right, yeah, one or the other. So that would include pots, even though you're not taking them to the table, and will include the basic flatware and cutlery, even though you're not cooking in it. Now, the second issue is very colorful, because it's a machlokes rishonim and a machlokes poskim had understand the machlokes rishonim. The first one is more straightforward, but it has one nakuda that bears mentioning. It has to touch the food. Why? Why does it have to touch the food? So the language of the rishonim who say this, that the Shulchan Aruch is quoting, is because otherwise it's not kli suda. And why not? Why isn't an oven rack a kli suda? So the Gra quotes from the Rashba in his interpretation of the Gemara as to what kli suda is, the following idea. Kli suda, since the parasha speaks about kashering, are things that you theoretically would have to kasher. Now, only things that come into contact with the food do theoretically have to kasher. Now, it's true that if you put cold trace into a bowl, let's say, you don't have to kasher, you just have to wash it off, but that's because it was cold. If it were hot, then you would have to kasher. So it has to have contact. If it only has contact with the pot, So that's the halacha in Yerodea, that ein kli bolemi kli bali rotev, that dry metals touching each other do not cause absorption. So that's what the Rashba says. That's why it's not kli suda, because the Torah itself ties it into kashering, so only those which theoretically would have to kasher require kashering.
So is that like the Rashba again, that it's like a mirror's action?
Not necessarily. Just that which, the criteria of that which needs tevila, which maybe is geris, is only those things that...
But the Rashba himself says that it's a good... If you tell him first, like, share us beyond.
Oh, okay. Okay, so maybe you'll make a... Unless you thought some of that. Okay, perhaps. I didn't think that through. Rashi, though, on the Gemara of Kli Seuda, he says, how did the Gemara know that you need Kli Seuda? Right, the Gemara had a Havamina that maybe you have to be tovel your scissors, or your shearing scissors. So the Gemara says, no, Kli Seuda Amurim Beparsha. So Rashi says, how do you know? Because it's only Kli Seuda that you use with fire. Right, the Torah says, Kol Asher Yovo Bo'esh. So you don't put your shearing scissors or your computer laptop, whatever, even if it's metal, in fire. So Rashi doesn't emphasize the kashering component of it, but rather the fact that in general it's Kli Seuda. So that it's used with fire, excuse me. So the Chelkas Binyamin notes that maybe this lenient sack of the Shulchan Aruch should depend only on the position of the Rashba, because it depends on kashering. But if you go like Rashi's approach, that has some kind of contact with fire, okay, so the grate also has contact with fire, with the pot on top of it. But he says, Mistima aposkim, it's not mashma that way, and presumably you have to say that according to Rashi, a grate is not called Kli Seuda Mitzvara. That's a Kli Seuda, is something you use with the food itself, irrespective of the fact that that's the way it theoretically becomes treif. A grate is a kli esh. It's something that helps you, the fire shouldn't touch the pot. But it's not something that prepares the food. Mitzvara. It's only pots and things you actually use with the food. That's not a kli suda. So even though that theoretically might have been enough between Rashi and the Gra, the grates, la halacha, we certainly pass from lakula, but probably even Rashi would agree that the grates are potter. And that's certainly the way we pass them. But a halacha lemaisa, a nafkamina that Lachora should emerge from this dispute is whether aluminum foil is a sufficient hefsik to pater the base from tevila. Let's say I have an oven rack that I always use either with pans or with foil. But I do sometimes put things directly on with foil, so do I have to be told, well, the oven racks? So sometimes it's owned by a non-Jew, and you're just a shoel, you're in an apartment. Right, the racks are owned by him. But what about the toaster oven? More common, Shiloh. If you own your racks and you always put down an aluminum foil, do you have to be tovel the rack? And if you are tovel it, even lechumra, do you have to make a bracha? So if you go with the approach of the Rashba, supported by the Gra, that it's totally on using it in an oifen that it becomes treif with. So here you're not using it in an oifen that it could ever become treif, because you have a dividing piece of metal. As the post will point out, in the context of airplane meals, right, that a foil also is considered metal, but he's considered a kli with regard to the fact that blia can't come through into that. However, if you go with the approach of Rashi, that anything that has some kind of contact with fire can be, or theoretically could be called a kli suda, so then maybe the aluminum foil paper is not enough. And furthermore, even if you go with the approach of the Rashba, that it's totally on kashering, but maybe misvara, when you put your pizza on your aluminum foil on top of the rack, what's holding the pizza? What's the kli suda over here? The rack or the foil?
The
so maybe misvara, the rack, the aluminum foil, as the Chelkas Binyamin writes, is not cholek shame la asmo, the hishtamshus is on the rack. So, lemaisa, this is an open question, in terms of the fact that they are shittas both ways. Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Auerbach is quoted in the Sefer Tevilas Kelim as being machmer on this. Rabbi Shechter, as I understand, is from the Machmirim on this, that he holds foil is not enough to pater the rack. And Rabbi Willig and Rabbi Neuberger are of the Mekilim. They hold that it is enough. This whole background, based on the Gra, whatever, that was my own analysis based on the Chelkas Binyamin. But Lamaisa, it is a machlokes haposkim. And Rabbi Neuberger just added on that even if you're going to be makel, you can only be makel if it's normal. meaning if you normally put your food directly on the rack and you're only doing it to save yourself out of Tvilas Kalim, then he thought that would not be good enough to save. Rabbi Schechter mentioned other ramifications of this dispute, although maybe even Rabbi Willig and Rabbi Nuber would agree. Let's say you have a candy dish that's glass and you put candies in the wrapper. Is that enough to potter it? Or that's called the shtamshis of the food itself? So I don't know if Rabbi Willig and Rabbi would make it on that, but Rabbi Schechter was certainly machmer on that. But concerning the toaster oven rack, that you do have a machlokus. Okay, the lemaiser is a machlokus, so not so hard to be tovel a toaster oven rack. The oven rack, it's a little harder, so that has to be seen how we pass through this. Okay. I thought so. Another question in terms of hefsek that's raised is a nutcracker. Right. Well, the question, because in the case of the Shulchan Aruch, when you have a pot on top of the tripod, what's holding the food? The pot. What's holding the pot? The tripod. But in the case of the rack, and you have foil and a piece of pizza, what's serving the food here? The rack. It's the main Makudas Achille. Okay. So Rav Shlomo Zalman Reubach says the nutcracker is chayiv because it touches the shell, but that's the food. And the Shevet Halevi, Rav Osner, is not so convinced. So he recommends to be tovel nutcracker without a bracha, with other kids. Okay, next. The final issue concerning... Concerning what's considered a Kli Suda, as we mentioned before, the Mechaber quotes in the name of the Mordechai that a Shechita knife is not Chayiv in Tvila at all. And the reason being, because it's not a Kli Suda. Because you're not finished yet. It's raw meat. People don't usually eat raw meat. The Ramah quotes in the Tashbetz, and it's also the position, I think, of the Merami Rutenberg, that it's Chayiv in Tvila, and therefore the Ramah recommends to be Tovel without a Brach.
Not only really don't you raw meat, you can't because you have to salt it first. So even if you do, it would be usar.
No, you could eat raw meat even without salting it because it's dam shelo pirish. Okay, whatever. But it doesn't matter. The bottom line is not you generally don't eat raw meat. Okay. So the Shach and the Taz have a very important machlokas here, how to understand that Ramah. Because the same Ramah who writes you should be tovably brocha something that is not used for Gemara HaTashmish, he writes that things that you use to make holes in the matzis, what is it called, redelach, something like that, that the barzelim shemesakne bema matzos, presumably means to make the holes, so you're not tovel at all. So the Taz says that that's really, the Ramah shouldn't have quoted that, because the Ramah was quoting a Rishon who held like the Mordechai that a shechita knife is potter too. Again, well, what's the uniqueness of the things that make the matzah holes? The matzahs are not baked yet. So it's not the Gemar HaAchana yet, right? So according to the Mordechai, all the Shechita Knife is Pater, that should be Pater. According to the Tashbetz, all the Shechita Knife is Chayiv B'li Bracha, or Chayiv, but LaHalacha we say B'li Bracha. So the matzah hole maker should also be Chayiv B'li Bracha. But the Ramah writes it's Pater totally. So the question is, why did the Ramah split? Just let me finish the Nakuda. So the Taz holds that the Ramah should not have split. And LaHalacha, for Machmer to be Tovel, the Shechita Knife without a Bracha, it should be Tovel, the matzah homemakers, also without a bracha. But the Shach says no, the Ramah was written with precise logic, because it's one thing if you're using something that is not yet fully prepared, where you cannot use that kli for something that is fully prepared. Like the matzah rollers, what are you going to do with it? Make holes in your challah? What are you going to get? It's only used for dough. But, I'm sorry? But as opposed to the shechita knife, which theoretically you could use to chop meat with, use it as a steak knife. It's true, you might have to kasher it first, you might have to rub off the shuman. But theoretically it could be used as a gemar hachana type utensil. So the Gro asks on the Shach, who cares what it theoretically could be used for? Tvilas Kalim should depend on what it is used for. But the Shach holds that svara is sufficient to be mechayev the shechita knife, at least bli bracha, but not to be mechayev the redelach, the things that make holes in the matzah. So again, just in sum, the mechaber holds that anything that's not for the gemar ha'achana is potter totally. The Ramah holds it's chayev bli bracha. And then there's a machlokis within the Shach and the Taz that how to paskin halach lemais on that. The Taz says that anything that's not gemar ha'achana yitovel bli bracha, and the Shach says only those things that theoretically could be used for something that is Gemar ha'achana, like a knife, could be used for something that, that's fully prepared. She has to be told with libracha. Those that cannot be used for something that's not gemar ha'achana, that is gemar ha'achana, excuse me, need not be told at all. Practical nafkamina. Well, this doesn't really work, but let's say theoretically, let's spell out what should be the halacha of a blender or a beaters of a mixer. So what do you use a mixer for? So lemaisa, you use it for whipped cream. Right? You beat up thing whipped cream and you put it straight on the... But if you never use it for whipped cream, you only intend to use it for batter and things that are not roi, but theoretically it is roi to be used for things that are gemar achana. So that would be b'li bracha according to everyone. But let's say take something like a coffee grinder. Or a rolling pin. Okay. A rolling pin if it's metal. Usually it's wood, but let's say metal. So according to the shach, totally pater. What are you going to use that for? Things that are fully prepared. But according to the Taz, b'li bracha. Or cookie cutters. This is, I forget his name. Someone in the base medrash pointed out to me. If you use cookie cutters, so you cut dough with that. You don't use it for gemar achana ever. I mean, what are you going to do with it if it's not... So someone said, well, you can cut, I guess, cake in funny shapes. Yeah, but no one uses it that way. So that might be exactly the machlokas between the Taz and the Shach. La halacha, the poskim are split on this. The Chachma Sodom poskim is like the lenient ruling of the Shach. The Sefer Tzvilas Kalim, and quoting the position of the Prichadash and others, poskim is like the machmer position of the Taz. So probably a good idea to be told libracha, but there are those who make it like the Shach. But it doesn't come up in every kli, because most kalim that are used for not gemar achana theoretically could be used for gemar achana. So lamaisa would have to be at least b'libracha. One or two other final topics, a little bit over, but one or two other final topics. The Prichadash, in analyzing why it is that the Ramah was makel for the matzah roller things, the homemakers, since he likes the Taz's Svara, that there really should be no difference whether theoretically you could use it for Gemar Achana or not, so he has to come up with some other answer to Miyashi the Ramah. He says, well, making holes in matzahs is not so choshev. So that's why it's putter.
It prevents it from being chametz.
Okay, but you could make thick matzah too without the holes. It's just an added, an added stringency. And also it's for chametz. It's not really for purposes of the tastiness of the matzah. Now, how far to take that pricharash? Does the pricharash only hold that something that's not so choshev allows you to get out of tefillah if it's not gemar hachana? Or perhaps the pricharash allows you to get out of tefillah if it's not so choshev, even if it is gemar hachana? So that's, of course, what Rabbi Willa quoted last week, even though Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, we're going to quote in a second, didn't quote the pricharash here, but lechora should depend on that. He was makel not to be tovel a toaster, based on that very reason. Because a toaster is not so choshev. You could eat it as it is. What do you really need toast for? So even though you want a little extra flavor, so it's not really a kli choshev. So that l'chora has echoes in its prima godin, a pri chodesh, excuse me, although the pri chodesh might have only said it in the context of something that's not gemar achana. Okay. Storage kalim is a machlokis. Best to be tovo b'li bracha. But it's sometimes used as snifla hakel for very large storage kalim they have in industry. Not to be tovel altogether, because it is a machlokus whether kli otzer that you neither cook with nor that you bring to the table are chayiv. That if those want to look at the makoros in that, it's in the one of the first Rebbe Akiva Eger's in the daf. Okay, one other main issue. I see. I wanted to originally discuss a little more of the topics that I will discuss, but I see there's not going to be time for that, so we'll leave it. But one other issue, the bailus. You have to own the kli, and it has to come from a non-Jewish owner originally, a non-Jewish factory owner, a non-Jewish creator of the kli, whatever it is. It had to be a non-Jewish hand at some point. If you borrow the kli from the non-Jew, you putter. If you borrow it long-term, we saw that the Taz holds that that's chayiv midrabana. Let's say I borrow the kli from somebody who's a non-Jew. So I'm putter. Let's say I borrow the kli from a Jew. So you have to be tovel. That's a tosis in Masechta Avodah Zarah according to the Rashbam. Kvar Neschayev Biyad Rishon. It's recorded in the Shulchan Aruch. What do you mean Kvar Neschayev Biyad Rishon? So let him be tovel. Why do I have to be tovel? So there are two ways to understand it. The Pashtiv Shat would be, it's already in Jewish hands, it's already a Jewish kli. So if he uses it, he has to be tovel, otherwise he's Mavatla Mitzvah Daraisa. If I use it, I have to be tayyib with it. Otherwise, I'm a batel mitzvah deraisa. It's not my kli, but I'm the one who's using it. Another way of expressing why a borrower is chayiv, even though it's not my kli, is Rabbi Willig discussed that we discussed it also in the first chabura, so we could build on that. We discussed a very important machlokis, whether the iser to use something is based on the mitzvah to be tovel, so it's an iser daraisa, or whether the iser to use it has nothing to do with the mitzvah to be tovel. The mitzvah to be tovel is an independent mitzvah. The iser to use it is an iser derabanan. So it's possible to say that if I borrow a kli from somebody who is chayiv, he's chayiv in the mitzvah. I am not chayiv in the mitzvah, so I'm not mevatel in the raisa, but I am not allowed to use it mid rabbanon because there's an iser ishtamshis. Okay, so two ways of understanding why when I borrow a kli, I'm definitely chayiv to be tovel before I use it. Is that because of the rabbinic iser ishtamshis, or is that because of the raisa chayiv tvila? And that in turn might depend on whether there's one or two chiyuvim over here. Is there a mitzvah plus an iser ishtamshis, or just a mitzvah which generates the iser ishtamshis? So one second. So very important nafka minas in this dispute. What if you have a suffix, whether you're chayiv in such a case? So if you hold it's only an iser ishtamshis derabanan, so you could say suffix derabanan lechula. But if it's an iser deraisa of a bitla mitzvah tvila, then you'd have to be mechayiv. So we'll see in a second. I know it's very late, just give me a few more minutes just to finish off. That actually is a machlokus between the Minchas Yitzchak on the one hand, who's Mekel, and other poskim machmir for that very reason. Another nafka mina is whether we'll discuss for a guest. If you're a guest, so the poskim point out that you're not a shoel. Okay, if you're a guest, you didn't quite borrow it, but you're still using it, so it's possible to say as follows. If there's an iser d'oraisa to use a kli without being tovel it, as long as it's a Jewish kli now that came from non-Jewish hands, so I don't care who's using it. It could be the Bailim, it could be a guest, it could be a shoel. It's the same bitl mitzvah d'oraisa. But if you hold an iser ishtamshus, I can't use it without being tovel it. Well, if I'm a shoel, that's my ishtamshus, I borrowed it. If I'm a guest, it's possible to say that that's not my ishtamshus, that's the balabai's ishtamshus. So I have no iser by using it. There's something I will have developed. I'm just giving a little more background for it. That should lechora depend on this issue, whether or not there's a separate iser ishtamshus, in which case maybe only midrabanan, in which case it's only when I am at least a shoel, or the mitzvah deraisa to be told that applies to anyone who's using it. So the base avi, Rav Yitzchak Libes, as well as perhaps, like I say perhaps because I didn't hear independently, but Rav Howie Jachter on the Kol Torah internet site, quoting from Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, quoting from the Rav, said some kind of similar svara, that a shoel, that an oreach is not a shoel, and therefore it's pater. Why? So maybe this is the logic, because you're not called the mishtamesh because it's called his ishtamesh, not yours. Lamaisa, concerning guests, it's a sticky situation. It's machlok zaposkim, whether it's mutter or not, in terms of this angle. But I will quote Rav Moshe Feinstein, that you can be makel on the plates, but not necessarily on things that are necessary to be used. The Chuvis van Hagis writes that you can make makel on glass, together with the other snifim. And Rav Shechter told me, as a matter of general rules, that if you're really stuck, if you're in a family that is not Tovel Kalim, and you're in the family, and you can't be Tovel it, so you can rely on the lenient position, but it's really a very weak kula, you should really try to avoid it, and whatever, that's the issue was discussed about turning down invitations, perhaps if you your choshes cannot Tovel Kalim. Okay, one final topic, and then we'll conclude. I'm sorry for holding you. We said that someone who buys a kli and it becomes Jewish, so anyone that borrows from him is definitely chayiv, because kvarin is chayiv v'yad rishon, either because it's a rishtamshus or because you're mevatel mitzvah tefillah, whatever it is. So what happens if that fellow did not decide to use it for a kli seuda? He wants to use the knife to cut rope, or as the Shulchan Aruch writes, to cut paper, cut klafen. So as far as he's concerned, it's not a kli seuda. So should we say, yeah, but if he wants to use it for steak, then it is a kli seuda, so it isn't chayiv v'yad rishon? That's the svara of the Yisuf Heter, which is quoted by the Taz and the Shach, and they recommend following it. L'chumra b'li bracha, that if you borrow a kli from someone who did not want to use it for seuda, you should be tovel it b'li bracha before you use it. Or should we say that since that guy didn't intend to use it for Sa'uda, it was never Netzchayev in his hands, and when I borrow from him, so I'm not Chayev, even though I'm using it for a meal, because it's not mine. And he's not Chayev, because he never used it, for he never designated for Sa'uda. That's the position of the Mechaber. It is Makel on that. He allows you to not be Tovlet at all. So how far do you go with this Kula? Well, the Mechaber is Makel in that case. The Shach and the Taz, they shoot it down right away. They say you have to be Tovlet B'li Bracha. The Chochma Sodom in the Pischei Tshuva says as follows. The Beis Yosef writes, and let's say I bought it to sell to somebody else. I have a houseware store. So, well, it's not a Kli Suda for me because I'm not eating out of it. But I'm buying it so it should be a Kli Suda for you. I'm not buying it to cut rope. So the Beis Yosef says that's also called Nat Neschayev B'yad HaRishon. And therefore, if you borrow a Kli from a Jewish houseware store, also Pater. So the Chochma Sodom says, we'll be makel for glass, but not for metal. That's the Pischei Tshuva. Makel, because it was a common practice. People couldn't afford dishes for weddings, so they used to borrow from kelim merchants, I guess used kelim merchants. And so he's makel for glass, not for metal. So then what Rabbi Shechter called the Chiddush al Gabi Chiddush al Gabi Chiddush, three Chiddushim, is what you have in the package. You can read it through. The Shevet Sofer who says, well, if I'm potter, if I'm using it for rope, and if I'm potter, if I'm using it to sell, I'm also potter if my business is to feed others with my kelim. That's also called klei schora. So that's the shaila of the caterers and the kiosks and the restaurants. Is that chayiv in tefilas kelim or not? So the shevet sofer, one of the descendants of Sam Sofer, holds his potter. Other poskim hold his potter, and other poskim say, well, wait a second. The whole chiddush to start out with was mifuk pak because the Taz and the Shach say you got to totally bracha, and the Beis Yosef's extension to Kli Schora was also an extension, a big chiddush to say if my business is to sell kelim that it's not called klei suda, to say that if my business is to feed people with my kelim that it's also klei schora, so that's too much. So amongst the poskim well, that for sure cannot be relied on is Rav Moshe Feinstein and Rav Shlomo Zalman Oibach as well as Rav Herschel Schechter, and Rav Willig also said that's the position of the Vad of Riverdale. And I think it's the position of the OU too. But other kashrus organizations,